This is an AMI podcast.
Welcome to Double Tap Canada,
the show where blind people talk tech.
Have your say. Call us, text us to 844-971-1999.
That's 844-971-1999.
Tweet us at Double Tap Canada and find us on Facebook.
Just search for Double Tap Canada.
Now here's your favorite Double Tappers.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. Yes, I am Stephen Scott. Whether you like it or not, I'm here with you this week. Not. Sean Priest is here. He's not happy about it. Fine. Fine.
I'm only joking. Hello, Stephen Scott. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. Did you have a nice Christmas? Did you enjoy Christmas time?
It was beautiful. You know what I love about Christmas? It is, of course, the dinner. That's it. That's all I care about. It is amazing. I was so full, I just fell into a coma. Great.
That's what you do. You just watch TV. And of course, you know, these days especially, you've got to be so careful. You can't just go out and wander the streets and shake hands with anyone willy-nilly, you know.
Why not? What's the matter with you?
Well, there's a virus out there, you know. You've got to be careful.
Oh, yes, of course. I never leave the house anyway. You know that.
I know, that's the thing. Blind people had this. We've got this. You know,
welcome to our world.
Exactly.
The rest of the world, yes.
We've been stuck in for years. That's why we're so good with our technology, because we don't really do anything else. Lovely to be with you. Hope you're having a nice day. No Mark this week. I think he's clearly had way too much to eat over the festive period. So, he couldn't make it this week. That's nice, isn't it?
I know, but what does Mark eat? I'm confused. What do you eat in Canada? Is it any different?
What do you mean, what do you eat in Canada?
Well, I mean, you know, it may be completely different. I don't know. Over here, I had dripping and Brussels sprouts. Obviously, I'm British. So, what do you eat in Canada over Christmas? There's a question for our listeners. Email.
Yeah. Send us an email and we'll read it out next week. Maybe. I think I'll say the biggest thing in Canada that I like, which I have to say for us is a pretty basic thing, but in Canada is a big deal, is poutine.
Oh, I know. That sounds amazing. You see, in the north here in the UK, chips and gravy, as we would call it. Love it. Chips and gravy and mushy peas. Oh, so that sounds very similar. I'm all into that.
Yeah, but that in Canada is like a delicacy. I remember when I was in a restaurant, I was over in Toronto back in, 2019? Feels like forever ago.
Such a jet setter.
Oh, I know. But I was getting a chance to meet the guys, the wonderful people at AMI, and we went out for dinner on the night I was coming home. I think they were trying to get rid of me, and they were celebrating, actually, that I was leaving the country. And we'd gone out for dinner. And I said, okay, look, you know, I'm in Canada. I'm here for the first time. Well, not first time. I've been to Canada before that, but, you know, in that particular setting. And I said, you know, what should I have? What should I eat? And they said, you need poutine. And you know that way when it came, I thought, is this a joke? Because to me, chips and gravy, essentially what we're talking about here, is something you would have after a night on the tiles, having an evening out. Maybe you've had too much to drink. And you need to soak up that alcohol. And to do that, you pour chips and gravy down your throat.
Of course, you're comparing it. It's very akin to a kebab, isn't it?
You
know, plenty of chili sauce. It's the same sort of thing. It's chippy food, we say over here, but oh, it is so good.
It's not a delicacy over here.
No, it's
a get you through the night.
Then anything with gravy on is automatically 100 times better. It's like putting cheese on anything. It just makes it great.
No. See, I'm not a cheese person. I'm not into cheese. Can't do cheese. You
Sorry.
Know why? It gives me nightmares.
I can't work with you. No, it doesn't give you nightmares.
It gives me nightmares.
Okay. You're very delicate. I'm doing apologise.
I'm only delicate in my sleep. When I'm awake, I'm wild. But when it's when it comes to sleep, I'm scared. poutine is the thing you would have. But I imagine that, you know, we all probably have the usual, you know, the turkey, the chicken. Are you turkey or chicken when it comes to Christmas?
I'm beef. I'm sorry.
Are you?
I can't. Beef. No, I'm not into turkey or no. Beef is the answer to me, though. It's all about the roast potatoes. Going back to the what do you call it? Poutine.
Poutine.
Roast potatoes and gravy. That's all I care about. I mean, you know, a nice roast potato is a thing, a beauty, sir.
Do you know what we should have done? I was just thinking about this. We should have actually done an episode in the kitchen where we, you know, cook a Christmas dinner using technology in our kitchen. But the problem I have with that is
that's not going to happen.
I don't know how any of it works. I mean, I can work the microwave. I've got a talking microwave. Can you put, yes. Can you put a chicken in that?
Why not try it out? I don't see why not, apart from food poisoning. It should be fine. The air fryer. That is the...
Yes.
Everything goes in the air fryer. I love it.
Yeah, I do love the air fryer, I must say. To me, everything is really simple. It's 180 degrees, 20 minutes. That's it. Everything in my life, 20 minutes, 180.
Exactly.
Or 200 if I'm feeling wild, you know. if I feel like I maybe want my chicken just a little bit crispier.
It's like the microwave, 4 minutes, 100% power. That's it.
Exactly. Well, what is it about microwaves? Medium power, high power. Why would you not want high power?
I know. Who cooks it on low?
Yeah,
I
mean, exactly.
Come on now. I want to wait longer.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, right? If you cook it on low power, it's going to take longer to cook and it's not going to be cooked as well.
You're welcome, listeners. That's your culinary advice. Listen, we know nothing.
I eat meatballs from a tin, right? So I'm not the person to come to for advice when it comes to food.
I can second that. Let me say, Stephen rang me the other day and said that last night he spent the night lying in bed eating turkey dinosaurs. I was
and
disgusted
beans.
On everyone's... Oh, and beans,
and
of
beans.
Course. Yes, you did have a side dish.
You've got to have a side, exactly. Yeah. It can't just be on its own. Come on.
You're not 12, Stephen. Grow up.
Oh, no, it was great. And, you know, my wife bought me one of those... It's like a little table thing that you put on the bed. So you sit up in bed and you have this tray and it's got these little legs that fold out.
Oh, and you can like you're in hospital.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
I was so... It's the one thing I loved about hospital was dinner time. You know, it was always my favourite bit. And sometimes you get to sit in those chairs. And I don't know where they get these chairs from in hospitals, but they're so comfortable.
Okay, I'll see if I can sort you out a visit. You seem to be a fan of hospitals, Stephen.
I am I spend a lot of time in them. But, you know, it's funny to me, right? Because when I go in, I think, you know, these chairs, and they kind of hug you in a way. You know, they're so comfortable and you feel so safe sitting in it. There's no room for manoeuvre. That's partly because of me and my size. But there's not a huge amount of room to move around in it. But it's so comfortable. I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, all I need now is a laptop and I am sorted for the next month. In fact, you know what? I'll just stay here. I'm fine.
You're a
in
weird,
this place.
Weird person.
Oh, I know. You've just figured this out.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, we're going to talk tech this week. I promise you we're going to talk tech this week. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about, I think, some of the things we think are coming in 2022. I also want to talk about some things a bit closer to home because I got a new parcel today in the post, just arrived. And this is something I've never owned before. And you know,
wow.
I'll tell you what's significant about this, right? I wanted to buy something that I don't have, which is difficult. My wife had said to me, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, look, I don't need anything, to be honest. So it basically, we just agreed we're going to put some money aside and we'll go on holiday whenever we can go on holiday again. And we'll just do that, right? Because we don't really need anything. She's the same and I feel the same way. So I thought, right, well, let's just, you know, never mind spending money on nothing. Because you do that at Christmas, don't you? You spend all this money and you think, why am I doing this? You know, it's just
you're impossible to buy anything for.
Yeah, but...
You're absolutely impossible.
But there's also that problem, I think, that people, they do this thing where they buy presents and it's almost like a show. It's like, how many parcels are under the tree that are for you? And I'm just a bit over all that. I mean, you know, I'm 40 years old for a start. You know, I'm not 12 anymore, except when I'm eating turkey dinosaurs in bed.
Yes.
But, you know, I just don't think there's a need for it anymore. And I'm the type anyway, and I think a lot of us are probably getting to that stage now where we, you know, if you want something, you maybe buy it yourself or, you know, you save
it's
up for
so
it.
It's just so easy now, isn't it? I mean, everyone just, you just browse and buy. That's the world we live in, and I love it.
Yeah, so did I. So for that reason, I did that. I bought this just after Christmas. I thought I'm going to get one of these. And it's just turned up today, which is brilliant. So we're going to talk about this because it's something I have never had before. It's something I'm quite excited to try. And it does have a purpose, I think, in my life. But we'll see. We'll see. Because I don't know much about it, but I know I don't have one. And interestingly, I couldn't get it on Amazon. That was the other interesting thing. So, you know, I spent so much time on Amazon that I thought, well, you know, surely it'll be available on there. And it wasn't. So I had to go to another store.
What is it? A unicorn? That's mad. What's not on Amazon?
It's like I broke Google with a question. That's what it feels like. Yeah. You know, it's like you ask a question and you're like, you know, I wonder what question I can ask Google that I won't know the answer to. I think I found that question, by the way. The question is, you know, anything to do with a screen reader or accessible tech. Yeah, because you'll not find any answers on there, let me tell you.
Someone's angry.
I'll tell you a story about that a bit later as well. But anyway, we'll get into all that as we relax after the festive period, or during the festive period, arguably. We'll head up to New Year. We'll talk a bit more about some of the tech we've got. That's all coming up here on Double Tap Canada. Stick around.
This is Double Tap Canada. We'll be back in a moment. Double Tappers, want to get involved? Call the show now at 1-844-971-1999 or email feedback@ami.ca and have your say. This is Double Tap Canada. It's a tech show. Honest.
It is. Okay, shall we open some tech? Shall we open up some tech on the show?
Oh, it's like Christmas again.
I know. It's like I thought I'd bring back the Christmas spirit of ripping boxes open. The great thing is this one is wrapped. It comes in the shop packaging. Ooh, it's still got packaging all around it as well. It's all shrink wrapped. So this is, the text on this is huge. It's the Lenovo Smart Clock 2.
Two? Oh, yes. You missed the first one.
This time it's personal. this is in blue, I should say as well. In beautiful, well, I think it's in blue.
I'm sure
I ordered the one that was in blue. This is a smart clock too. So this is a Google Assistant powered smart clock. And this is kind of different, right? Because you're thinking here, I'm thinking, I guess, a little bit of the Echo Show 5 or the Echo Show 8 in terms of style here. It's the same kind of idea. I'm going to open it up because I think it's got like a fabric surround on it. Kind of similar to what the Echo Show does.
This is so weird, Stephen. You know, I don't want to be dismissive.
Tech.
But yeah, well, yeah, that. But firstly, you and Google, I mean, you know, it just doesn't mix.
Well,
it's
no,
crazy.
It doesn't. But there is a reason for this, right? Okay, hang on, just open up here, let's just see. I'll just take the...
And why is it a clock with a... I mean, what are we talking, like a bedside radio alarm clock, or...?
Well, I think it could be, yeah. I mean, it is a smart clock, right? So, hang on, I'm just opening up the box here. Enjoy the music while I figure this out.
It's tiny. Terrible.
Oh, okay. It's so cute and small, and wow, that's so small. Okay, so it's actually smaller than the Echo Show 5.
Meaning you can't see the numbers on
it. Yeah, probably.
All right, perfect.
Well, okay, there is that. Right, I'll open it up, and we'll get into this and see what it's like. So it's got a lovely fabric finish around it, which is quite nice. It's not particularly heavy. I mean, it's pretty light. What's quite cool about this is it doesn't have a camera in it. At least I don't think it does. It doesn't have a camera, so it's ideal for the bedroom. A lot of people like that. So the screen is, it's almost like triangular. I'd say it's very much like those old-style alarm clocks, the way the old-style...
Not the pyramid talking alarm clocks.
Not quite
love
the pyramid.
Them.
No. Triangle sides, but certainly a square front. So you've got the rectangular front where the clock is. You've got two buttons on top. Rather interestingly, very tactile. Along the top, you've got on the top right side, you've got a plus and then a minus on the far left side. There's a little hole on the front of the screen. I'm wondering if that's a microphone, maybe. Seems to be the same on the other side. Maybe these are microphones. I don't think there's a camera in this. I remember reading that. On the bottom, there's two holes at the bottom. I don't know if that's maybe like a battery compartment or maybe... Oh, actually, do you know what that might be? For a charging base. Oh, it is. I tell you it is, because I didn't get this one, but you can get a charging base for it, which this sits on. And what's quite cool is the charging base, it extends to the right, and there's a wireless charging pad as well, so you could charge your phone up whilst you're, you know, looking at your clock. So,
that's quite cool.
That is quite cool, but it kind of makes it a bit unsightly because it's this huge big tray that this little clock is sitting on. It's really small. On the back, there's a hole for power and a little switch at the back. Should we plug it in? Should we see what it's like?
I love this. I mean, this is truly first impressions. I mean, you've got no idea, have you? You just...
No.
I like it. Keep going.
This is the way we're doing it now.
Plug it in.
Just see what happens. What could possibly go wrong?
No, nothing.
Absolutely nothing. No, I mean, I have literally just... I mean, you know, I just got this like 5 minutes ago.
Well, I'm interested to see why would you go for this over just a normal Google... what do they call it now even? The Google Nest Mini speaker?
Well, price primarily, right? So we're talking $50 here for this thing.
Which, yeah, same price as a Nest Mini.
Is it
smart
though?
Speaker?
Is it though? I thought the Nests were a bit more expensive than that, in the hundreds. I thought. I mean,
oh, if you're going for the large
bigger
ones.
Yeah, and the, even the smaller Nest, which I've actually, I think I've got or had the original Google Hub, was bigger than this.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, if you don't care about the screen, right? If we're, well, if we're just talking, who cares? If it's that small that you're not going to be able to make out the numbers on it to use the clock function. You know what? Let's see. I don't know. Plug it in. Maybe it is just
assistant.
A...
I'm here to help. To get started, please download the Google Home app on a phone or tablet.
Decent sound off it anyway.
Yeah, sounds all right.
It's actually not bad considering the size of this thing. So, right, the first question I have is, can we get any kind of accessibility on it? Because if it is Google-driven, we've also got the volume there, but can we get... How could we turn on...
Keep mashing the button, Stephen.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking if I hold down, say, plus and minus, does that do anything? What's that button at the back, dude? Does that just turn it off?
Well, being Google, it would be.
All right, so the button at the back is actually to mute the mic.
The mic's gotcha back on.
Okay, so that's fine. And I like how it tells you that. That's nice.
I like Google.
But we don't have any ability to
But no, to if it's a touch screen, then I would try, I mean, I'm thinking Google Talkback and things. You just put two fingers on the front of the screen, maybe, hold them in the centre. But is it a touch screen?
No, do you know what's interesting?
Yes.
I was just double tapping the screen, just literally mashing the screen to see what happened. And the first thing that happened there is Zoom came on. So I double tapped on the screen and it's actually zoomed in on the text.
Right. So it's like I thought you were starting a meeting. Okay.
No, it's actually kind of created, so that's quite handy actually. So if you were struggling to read it, you can just double tap on the screen and it'll make the text larger. Okay, let's hold down two fingers on the screen. Because that's the Android way, isn't it? To
yeah, you may need to power it off, and when you power it on, hold the fingers on the screen.
So take the power out, and then
yeah, unplug it and plug it back in, but hold two fingers on the center screen. I don't know. I'm only guessing.
This
here
is ridiculous, right? Hang on.
Yeah,
okay,
forget it.
No, hang on. Let's try this. Okay, so I'm powering it back on.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to Double Tap Canada.
Hey, listen, people are loving this. You behave
yourself. I know, I can tell. No.
People are wanting to know what this is all about. I mean, that's the thing, right? This is the whole thing. If we can get technology like this and make it, you know, if you...
Hey, it's real life, right?
Well, yes. And also, you buy something, being able to set it up yourself is the key. So if you buy something like this, very mainstream piece of tech, can you make it work for you? Because there's no way to... Oh.
Hi, I'm your Google assistant. I'm here to help. To get started, please download the Google Home app on a phone or tablet.
Right, well, it's not doing anything. So clearly I need to get this app to do this. So I'm going to have to go to the app and set it up that way. Now, that may allow me to switch on things like accessibility there. So yeah, I'll do that. And then we can talk about that, how we got on next week with that. Because I'm not going to do that here on the show. That will take forever.
Why not? We've got an hour.
Yeah, the whole hour is me setting this thing up. I'm just checking if there's any other buttons on it. So there's a little bit of fabric at the bottom left. I think that might be the Lenovo logo. Fabric around the side. I mean, it's quite a rough fabric, so it's not very pleasant to touch, but in my view, but it is nicer than just having your bog standard plastic. And I guess it's you know, this is blue. I think that it comes in pink. I think it comes in other colours. So, you know, it can be quite nice around the home. The screen size, I'm guessing, is probably 4 or maybe 3.5, 4 inches. It's not very big. Huge bezel around the edge as well. I mean, they could get rid of that and, you know, make the screen bigger. But seems to be quite a clear display. I mean, the only text I can read on it is where it says, get the app. Everything beyond that I can't read.
I know, I'm confused by it. This confuses me. I don't like it, right? So it's called a smart clock. So is it just a clock or... I mean, it's basically... Right, so it's got a touchscreen display on it.
You can listen to music on it. You can do all the things you would do any
I get other that. But you could do that with a smart speaker. What the point I'm making is this is a display. This is like the Echo Show or the Google Hub, Nest Hub. This has got a display on it.
Yeah, that's so right. I mean, for me, the whole point of this was to be able to have a clock in front of me, hopefully big enough that I would be able to use as a timer on the show. Now, I have a little timer here that I use when I'm doing the show. I got a big print one from Amazon. So text is massive on it. And it is great. Nice. But I kind of like the idea of being able to talk to the timer. But the other thing is I don't want to invoke Lady A at the same time. I don't want to have two of those devices at home. So I thought maybe having, you know, one being Google and one being... Actually, hang on. Have I just turned it off again? I think I just unplugged it. I was going to just see if I could talk to it. That would have been a novel idea, wouldn't it? I'm going to turn it on and try that. But yeah, basically with having two of them in the room, I wanted to have two separate ones. And it means I can talk to one, talk to the other, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what else I can do with this thing. I may put it into the bedroom. I'll be interested to hear what the sound's like compared to the Echo Dot, for example, that I've got in my bedroom just now.
Yeah. Is that the Dot 4 or 3?
What are we on?
The round one or the flat one?
The round one, yes. So that's that 4.
Yeah, 4, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Although I have to say, third gen is a brilliant sound as well. When it comes to... Right, okay, here we go. I'll try talking.
I'm your Google assistant. I'm here to help. To get started, please download the Google Home app on a phone or tablet.
Okay, Google. Turn on...
No.
What's it called?
I don't know. What do you want it to...
No, she's not interested. Okay, fine. I just wanted to try that. Okay.
You mean turn on screen reader didn't work, Stephen? That's madness.
She didn't even bother with me. That's the point. She's probably thought this guy was nothing.
I should say turn on, hang on, what's it called? Screen reader didn't work.
It makes perfect sense to me. But yeah, I mean, I'm quite intrigued to try it. I mean, for the price of it, about $50, 35 quid in the UK, it's not a huge amount of money to play with just to try this kind of thing out. And as I say, if it provides... Because the one thing I find with the Echo that really irritates me with the screen Echo with a screen, like the Echo Show 5 or 8 or 10 or whatever, is that when you ask it certain questions, it will show you the information visually. It will not relay that information audibly.
Yes. Now, haven't they updated that? Can you change that in the settings? I don't know because I... Look, this all goes back to me, the importance of having a display on a smart speaker. And I've got a couple, but I'd never use the display, the visual aspect of it. Obviously, I don't. But, I mean, I don't think there's a reason to have it. I think you're far better off with a smart speaker without a display.
I agree. I do agree. And I think that, you know, for me, this is literally just going to be a big timer if I can get it to be that. And if it's not that, then, you know, it'll just become a bedroom clock, I guess. But, you know, I just think it's an interesting little idea. And, you know what I'm like? I like Sean to test things on behalf of the nation.
No, I know that, Stephen. You're basically a hero. Thank you.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Yes. thank you for saying it in that way. Yeah, I am a hero. Get over it.
Sorry, we're still a little bit drunk on Brussels sprouts at Christmas dinner.
But this is basically what this period of time is for. It's for playing with silly gadgets and doing that thing where people do, where they sit on a couch or a sofa, depending on how you look at it, and you sort of pick up technology and look at it. You know, the family do this thing whenever they get a new thing at Christmas. They always sit and they look at it and they go, nice. Yeah. Got no
look
idea.
Look confused and just ask the children in the house to sort it out and
throw
get it
at a child and say, please fix this thing, will you? Speaking of which, and speaking of children in particular, I say children, that's maybe a bit unfair, but let's say young people. I've been turning to young people a lot recently because of my Braille display. So I've got the Focus 40 Braille display, which I'm really loving, and I have loved for a long time with my iPhone. But I've been trying to get into it a bit more with JAWS. And hooking up to a PC, you think is a simple process, and it arguably is. But it's the information that comes off the Braille display and all the data that comes onto this thing. You're like... What on earth is going on? And what's happening? And is it connected? And is it thinking about it? And is this the information I should be getting? And when am I in the menu? And what's this for? And all these things that are going on, it's not as simple as you would think. Weirdly, it's a lot easier to connect, I think, a display with an iPhone and get up and running with it than it is with a PC. But for that, I turned to the internet and, you know, I thought Freedom Scientific, they'll have tons of resources in this. And they do. They've got tons of resources online. But there's also a ton of videos out there, and I'm really pleased about this. I made that joke earlier about, you know, when you Google something and you don't get an answer around assistive tech. I am joking a bit because that has changed. And, you know, what I'm starting to find are that a lot of people, and there was a young girl who was presenting, I don't know her name, and the reason I say young girl is because she was talking about being at school or college, I think. So, you know, I don't know, she was American. and she was talking about connecting up the Braille display. And she was brilliant because she talked me through it in a way that I understand. Because, you know, when blind people talk about these things, they know what they're talking about, especially those people who use it. And I want to listen to people like that. She had, interestingly, started using JAWS at 7 years old. So she was totally on board with JAWS. And she said something which I thought was really interesting. She doesn't use a lot of the functions, the Braille-specific functions, to control JAWS. So, you know, you can do, like, shift and control, and you can, you know, essentially do all your keyboard commands you can do in a QWERTY on a Braille display. She says, I don't do that. She says, because it's just too complicated. It's too much to bother with. And I'm thinking, well, hang on. She started this at 7 years old.
Yeah, how difficult is it?
She knows way better. I'm like, I feel confident now to just say I'm not going to do that. Because I think when you get into the world of Braille and you're using a Braille display, you tend to feel the desire to jump headfirst into all of it because you feel you have to. It's like you've made the investment, you've bought the tech, you've got it hooked up. I really should be using this. But I think arguably, and this is where I think the Mantis Q40 is probably the best. If I didn't have these, I would have got the Mantis Q40. It wasn't out when I got these. But, you know, this is the Mantis Q40, because it's QWERTY, it has the Braille display. To me, that's perfect.
Is it? I don't know. Isn't that sort of doing away with the whole... Because it's all about learning the Braille keyboard as well, isn't it?
Well,
that's
a bit of an argument in the community at the minute, isn't it? Because I've heard this argument before of people saying, well, it's important to know how to type Braille, and I think it is. It absolutely is. But at the same token, more of us are using computers than anything else. Not many of us are producing Braille on a Perkins. I mean, yes, you can, and it's handy to be able to do that. But, you know, ultimately, you can connect an embosser, if you've got one, up to a computer, and it'll print out Braille for you in the way that a Perkins would if you were in front of it tapping away
all
day.
Who's got an embosser? You might not, the size of a wardrobe and cost thousands.
No, absolutely. But you may not have one, but you may have access to one through maybe a local group, or maybe a society has one and you're able to use it, or maybe able to send the files to someone to get it printed. I've just thought of a great business idea.
Stephen's buying an embosser.
Yeah. Stephen's printing Braille. But, you know, that actually, you know, that's the way to do it, right? So there are ways to do it, which means you would only ever touch the computer. You wouldn't really bother too much with the Perkins style. So knowing the QWERTY keyboard is probably more important in that case. And most of us, like this girl said yesterday, are growing up using the keyboard, using JAWS, or a screen reader, or a Mac, or whatever. You know, they're using that with a QWERTY keyboard, but also reading the Braille. So which is more important? Is it the writing, as in the creation of the Braille with the Perkins keys, or is it more important to be able to read it? I would say reading's more important than the writing.
Marginally.
You know, if you're putting them next to each other, I'd say the reading is probably more important because you need to be able to read the thing, right? What's the point? But the writing part, well, you know, as long as you're getting the information down... I don't know. I think the QWERTY keyboard is probably the best way for input, and that's why the Mantis is very popular, especially in education.
I get it, but I can hear people saying now, well, you know, of course, it's all reliant on the technology, right? What if there's a power cut, or, you know, whatever, a meteor strikes the Earth, right? How are you going
Hang on. If a meteor strikes the Earth, how will I type out my message to say help?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
How will you do that, Stephen, without, you know, you need to know the Perkins Braille keyboard.
I'm putting
my
head between my legs and kissing my backside goodbye at that point, so I don't care. And you can put that in Braille and stick it somewhere. I don't care. Stick it where I'm kissing, frankly.
I must admit, I am struggling to find a reason to argue against that, because it is kind of true.
I honestly... I think that the value in being able to type in Braille is there. I'm not suggesting for a second it's not. I'm just saying for my personal use, what I've found is I have the QWERTY keyboard, I've got the Braille display, and what I'm doing is I'm reaching over the Perkins keys to get to the QWERTY all the time. And I'm rarely actually using those keys. The only time I tend to use the Braille input itself is with the iPhone. And that's because essentially I'm replacing that keyboard, and I do find that easier. So I find that quite interesting. You know, I find it's true. You're absolutely right. Conversation.
The on-screen keyboard can be difficult on the iPhone, right?
Yeah.
The Braille keyboard, as I've said before, you know, I just learned. I had a few lessons in grade one, and using the Braille input on the iPhone was really quick. I did find it easier than using the on-screen QWERTY keyboard.
So you're going to join me next year? You're going to do this course with me?
I am. Yes, definitely. Time. It's now or never, Stephen. I'm never going to do it if I don't do it now. And I've got to say, I've seen some interesting tweets and posts from different Braille organisations where they're just throwing out these little tips and these little pointers and bits of advice, which I don't know. I've never seen them do it that way before.
No, that's right. I think it's because of people, you know, that girl I was telling you about. I think it's people like that, right? They're putting information out there that is more accessible. We're getting away from this idea because, you know, when you talk about Braille, it always gets very serious very quickly.
Oh, it's like a lecture. It's a series. You know, it's like taking a course. Well, it is a course, but yeah, it's very
educational. It's all about education. Yeah, it's all about education and it's the importance of it. And I get all that stuff. Of course it's important. All that is important. But at the same time, some of us are not going to use this for any more than notes or for, you know, putting labels on plugs. I mean, how useful is that? Let's be frank about it. You know, that's the kind of thing I'm going to use Braille for. I'm not interested in using it to sit and read tons of books. I mean, I'd like to. I mean, the thing for me is, truthfully, I want to be able to read the emails on the show. I said it a couple of weeks ago. I want to be able to sit and read the emails on this show. I can't do that at the moment. So that would be cool. Now, obviously, to do that, I'd have to spend some time reading the emails first before we start so that I'd be able to at least have a sense of where I'm going. So if I lose my place, I can quickly get, you know, catch up because, you know, I can't read that quickly.
That's right, yeah.
But it does mean I'd have that skill. And also just being able to sometimes use a device in silence. I don't know about you, but I have a real thing. And I don't know, there'll be a name for this as a condition at some point in the future. But I'm convinced that there's a real challenge for some people. And I think I've got this, where listening constantly to a speaking voice is off-putting.
It's called marriage.
Wow. I'm glad you said that. Even I wouldn't go that far.
I'm so sorry.
I'm covering the ears of the Lenovo smart clock here because it can't deal with this. Look, stick around because I want to talk about something pretty cool that we found. I've been playing with this over the holidays as well. A web browser for your Apple Watch. Wow. This is pretty cool stuff. And it's made for the sighties, but I think the blindies are going to enjoy it much more. I love when this thing kind of thing comes along. Stick around, we'll get into that next on Double Tap Canada.
Double Tap Canada will be back after this. This is Double Tap Canada. Have your say right now. Call or text 1-844-971-1999 or email feedback@ami.ca. Now, back to the show.
It's Stephen and Sean with you this week. No Mark this week, I'm afraid, but he will be back with us next week, all going well. So, yeah, we look forward to that. You know, during the break there, I was mucking around with this Lenovo smart clock and I've started the setup process. It's actually, you know what, I will say one thing about Google. Their setup process through that Google Home app for devices like this is just incredible, super accessible. You know, I just downloaded the app. I didn't even have the Google Home app installed. I thought I did. But I downloaded the app easily, got in, immediately found the Lenovo smart clock. It started, setting it up, went through the process. What's interesting is, does it have accessibility on it? I imagine it will.
Of course it will.
Well,
maybe.
I hope. Yeah, I hope. But we'll find out. Hopefully we'll find out by the end of the show. It's doing the update right now. It says eight minutes.
It's such a cliffhanger.
I know.
This is amazing.
What if we don't get the answer by the end of this? How does that work?
We don't stop until it starts speaking.
Right, so we just stay on air.
Yeah, sorry, AMI. We're not going anywhere.
Something's happening. It's sort of flashing at me. I don't know what that's doing. Maybe it'll come to life in a moment. But yeah, we'll see. Next break, we'll check in on it and then we'll come back and let you know how it goes. I wanted to talk about a new app that has come to light, which is not an app built for blind people, but I think will have a massive benefit to the blind community.
Massive? That's strong words, sir.
Well, you know, I think sometimes an app comes along and it's you know, you kind of think to yourself, is this one of those apps that's, you know, going to make a difference? It's going to change, you know, the use of technology for us? Because I think, you know, when it comes to it, the Apple Watch is a brilliant piece of tech, but I still struggle to know what to do with it half the time.
Yes, I totally agree.
I mean, it's to me a very expensive talking watch. That's really all I use it for. You know, occasional notifications, maybe answering the odd calls, replying
and
to
a text.
And you
just bought another one.
And I just bought a brand new one. And when I bought it, I'm like, why did I even bother? There was nothing wrong with the one I had.
I meant the Lenovo, but yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. That as well, yeah. But yeah, this is quite cool. So what I'm intrigued to tell you about today is this new app. It's called Micro Browser. Now, this is difficult because it's called Micro Browser, but it's not actually... Well, I don't know how it's spelled or what... I don't know what... You might know more about this than I do. It's like an upside-down H.
Yeah, it's that funny symbol, isn't it? It's symbol browser. But if you just search your... Oh, hello? If you just search the... App Store for...
You know, who would be surprised to know I'm getting deliveries through the day?
If you just search the App Store for Apple Watch browser, for me, at least it was the first result there, and it simply VoiceOver announces it as browser. That's it.
I got Micro Browser. I said Micro Browser when I tried to download it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, mine just said browser, but when I went through either character by character, then it said micro browser. So
that's interesting.
It's a strange one, but yeah, you'll find it. It was it's not a free app. There was a cost to it. I think it was a dollar or something like that. Not very much.
What's cool, I think, about all this is that you know, because I have to say, you know, the idea of browsing on a watch is, I mean, I remember this. We used to laugh about browsing on a phone, right? It was ridiculous. Who's going to want to go on the internet on a tiny screen?
Yep.
Now that's basically how we live our lives. Well, with this micro browser app, basically, it's putting the web on your wrist. Now, it is not. I don't know what it looks like visually because I always have my screen turned off, so I don't have a clue what it looks like visually. But from a voiceover perspective, once you're in there, you can do a couple of things. Basically, it has got its own... The app you download onto the phone allows you to control and add websites that you might want to frequently visit on the watch. And that's pretty cool. So if you have specific sites that you'd like to go to, maybe it's a news site or maybe it's a... Like if it was AMI.ca, for example, you want to go there and listen to our show, then, you know, you can... put that into the app and that is then available on your watch. I love how everything's just going to beep and ping all the way through this. Oh, hang on. Oh, no, it's just pinging. Right, okay. This is this Lenovo clock. It will eventually get somewhere. But yeah, basically when you put the AMI.ca, for example, into the phone, that will then appear as an option on your watch.
Basically bookmarks, isn't it?
Exactly.
Your bookmarks on the companion app and they show up on your...
But you can now use that new keyboard, and I think this is maybe what's driven the developers to create this, is you now have that on-screen keyboard on the watch. Now, it's not that bad. Even with me having the fat finger syndrome, it's actually not that bad to type on. But the most interesting thing is, when that keyboard showed up, something happened that I'd never seen before. And that is, on my phone... And if you've got the Apple TV, you'll have seen this before, where you go into a search field or a text field or a password field, it will automatically maybe make your phone vibrate and it will say, use your keyboard on your iPhone to enter text on that device, in this case, the Apple TV. You can now do this with the Apple Watch. So you don't have to type on the watch, you can type on your phone.
Yeah, now, we were talking about this and... Is this a new feature or has this always been there, but I've never noticed it before? I'm not entirely sure. I think it's new.
I think this is new. And I think it's probably, you know, on reflection of it, because when we talked about this, I thought maybe we've just missed it or maybe I've not been aware of it. But of course, since the new update to watchOS, there has been this, you know, new keyboard. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but that new keyboard... Your new keyboard is only available on that bigger, is it the Series 7 Apple Watch, isn't it? It's not for everyone, just on that bigger screen because you've got 2 mil bigger. It's not available on my Series 4.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought it was across devices.
No, it's because your massive screen on the latest Apple Watch makes me laugh.
I'm so glad I bought it now.
You got something to lord over the rest of us.
My watch has got a keyboard built in.
Maybe that's why. Maybe this new feature of, you know, allowing you to enter text through the iPhone is because of that.
Well, okay, so maybe you haven't tried this yet, have you?
I haven't. No, I keep meaning to, but as ever, my Apple Watch is just stuck on charge next to my bed. So,
but the reason
I'm interested to turn it on.
The reason I'm interested in you trying it is because how would you then enter text into the app on the watch?
Well, yeah, I just assumed you could just, you know, enter the text on the companion app and save it as bookmarks. Basically, you couldn't enter a custom address. You would just use whatever bookmarks you save. But, I mean, you could use Scribble, I suppose, but that's never very good. But if you've got this option of using your iPhone to type the address, then it's all gravy, right?
And when you think about it, I mean, because at first I'm thinking, well, this is ridiculous. But actually, you go to, say, Google, as I did. I went to Google to search for something. I was actually looking to get to the AMI website, so that was my intention. And what I did was I typed in accessible media, and I was able to use the rotor on the watch to get to headings, to get to links.
Oh, that's cool.
And just basically swipe down to get to where I want. I mean, it's no different, really, frankly, to using the iPhone to browse the web. I mean, actually, no difference at all for a voiceover user. You're just doing it all on your watch versus your phone. So I think it's worth checking out.
How responsive is it? Because that's what it's all about to me. How responsive? Are you waiting for it to catch up when you swipe?
Blew me away. It was so quick. I remember when, do you remember that Twitter app we tried a while back? I can't, was it Chirp?
There's Chirp, yeah, and there's also Jay, I think is the other one, yeah.
I haven't tried that one, but I tried Chirp, and I remember, God, this is terrible. It was so slow loading the tweets, and I thought, I can't be bothered with this. No, this is super fast. No lag at all. And, you know, I think for a voiceover user, this is probably the best way of doing it. If you're on the move and you want to quickly check something on your, you know, I'm thinking about people who might be using their watch independently of their phone. For example, maybe they've got their phone in their bag, or they've only got their watch on their wrist and they've left their phone at home. Maybe you've got one of those 4G LTE watches, you know, the SIM inside it. Then, you know, you'd be able to navigate the web just using this. Now, I obviously, it would take forever to go through every single website to know how usable this is and how much it can actually bring up. And I think for me, I'm quite intrigued. I'd love Mark to be here to talk about this because I'd like to know what it actually looks like. How do you see what's going on? I mean, Google must be tiny on that screen.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know how that works. But I tell you, for us blind folk, I think this is brilliant. So, check it out.
It
costs like $1 or something. It's nothing.
Yeah. Is this the killer app? Is this finally where we say the Apple Watch is actually useful?
I think this is the first time I've seen something where I think I would actually go back to my watch and do this. I mean, there's not a huge amount of times I would spend. I think when I'm on the move, if I was sitting on a train, you know, browsing the web on my watch actually doesn't seem like a bad idea. Arguably, I could just pull my phone out and do the same thing. There is that.
Well, that's the argument for anything you do
exactly.
on the Apple Watch.
That's right. Yeah. Why would you have one over the other? But, you know, if you're in a situation or you just want to get some information quickly, I think that would be cool. If they could link it in with Siri, but of course we all know Siri is useless, but if we could get Siri connected into it so it could, you know, essentially use that as some kind of browser to open up information, that would be amazing. But I think we're a long way off that, which is nonsense when you think about it.
It is. But it's nice we got this option.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's cool. So check it out, micro browser or Upside Down H Browser.
Yes, this is commonly known.
That's right, Upside Down H Browser, brilliant. It's about $1 and it's available on an Apple App Store near you. You should definitely check it out because I've got to say, I think this is going to be the killer app for this device. I think finally it's got some purpose in life.
Oh, well done you.
Well done whoever made it. Right, okay, and also well done to putting all the accessibility in. I mean, everything works. It's so simple. I think that's the thing about the watch, isn't it? Because of the simplicity of the interface, it kind of makes any app accessible to some degree.
It does. Actually, it makes more sense, as you keep saying. It makes more sense for us as visually impaired people because who wants to see that on the screen? A web page on the screen seems weird to me.
Stick an AirPod in. You got a Bluetooth keyboard connected to that. Even a Braille display on your Apple Watch now. Wow.
Duh.
You need a phone.
Correct.
Future wearables, which is actually what we're going to talk about next. Future wearables is something that is very exciting, and it's good to see we're kind of already there. Stick around, we'll get into that next here on Double Tap Canada.
This is Double Tap Canada. We'll be back in a moment. This is Double Tap Canada. Now, back to the show.
Yeehaw! Has to be done.
Right. No, it doesn't.
Well, you know what? I should be less excited because I've just spent a bit of time during the break there setting up finally the Lenovo Smart Clock 2. It does not have any accessibility features bar one. So no screen reader, so no talk back. It does have Zoom in it, interestingly, although that's not classed as an accessibility feature, or at least there's no settings for it. You just double tap on the screen with one finger, and it will zoom into the text on screen for you, and you just use that finger to navigate around the whole screen and bring it, you know, closer to you. So that's the only kind of accessibility feature that seems to be in there. The other is a noise to indicate that it has started to listen to you. So when you say the hello to G lady or G man, you know,
well done
in thing, then you, whatever you call it, what's that word?
God, Google.
So much to eat. need to stop this. But yeah, basically, when you say the words, invocation, is that what they call it? Invocation.
Oh, invoke the wait words. That's
yeah,
easier.
That's yeah, exactly the wait words. When you say the wait words, basically, you get a little bing. You know, you can turn that on, and you can get one which will tell you when it's stopped listening as well. So that's the only accessibility feature, basically telling you if it's listening or not. But there's no talk back in there, so that's a shame.
Well, so far, I mean, there's no accessibility options under that device in the app. But maybe there may be something in on device. Maybe you need sighted assistance, but it's not looking good.
It's not looking good, I mean, because it's not actually built into the device itself. The only options seem to exist on the app, at least that I can understand. And of course, I can't really see what's going on that screen well enough to know. It does have reasonably large text on it.
I'll send it back. What's the matter with you?
I might keep it as a clock. I'll keep it as a clock.
A clock you can't see. Perfect.
It's my favourite kind of clock. As long as it gets the time right, I'm not really too fussed. It'd be nice if, maybe saying that, I could just say, OK, Google time. Yeah, it doesn't work. Send it back.
Live demos.
I think I just unplugged it, in fairness. I think that's probably why. So we're talking about wearables, and we're talking about how the watch, you really could, frankly, have lots and lots of wonderful features to it, but we just don't really know what they are because we don't spend enough time with it, frankly. And sometimes it feels like, well, I could just grab my phone and do this anyway. But we are seeing apps come along, and microbrowser is an example of where it's going, where, you know, that watch does seem a bit more useful in some ways, so that's cool. But I think in 22 we're going to see, I'm predicting it here, I think we're going to see Apple Glass finally arrive. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to be in terms of function, because I don't think it'll have a camera in it. It may have LiDAR. Oh,
terrible idea if they don't have a camera in it.
Well, it's not going to, you know, because privacy concerns. People are too obsessed with privacy concerns, rightly so.
Wrongly so.
No, I think you know, if you've got small kids and you're worried about people walking down the street taking pictures of them, I mean,
then
arguably,
you're wrong.
Well, arguably, don't buy Ray-Ban smart glasses. That's the first thing. Then you know that's a concern. I think, you know, people are going to have that argument till, you know, the end of time, frankly, around that. But it would be good for us, frankly. I mean, I think about using Ira and not having to hold my phone up.
Exactly, you know, right. Those kind of we're being filmed all the time, no matter what. As soon as you step out of the privacy of your own home, you just assume that everyone's watching you and everyone's filming you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to be honest. I honestly don't. And it isn't. Not everyone's dangerous or whatever, filming you for, whatever. Photography in public isn't a crime, I believe some people say. And I'm down with that.
You should, as long as you follow that with Your Honour, I think you're fine.
Look, I just think it would make such a difference for us. You know, like you say, Ira, Be My Eyes, anything like that. It would be a game changer, and LiDAR just isn't enough.
No, I agree. I think LiDAR will help in a lot of ways, and I think we're getting to a point where AI is going to be the driver here. I mean, AR is where it's all going, isn't it? Augmented reality, and I think that will flip not just to something that people can see, but also how it can interact. And I think mixing AI with AR is going to be a really interesting game changer for us. And we're seeing some products coming out, especially next year. And I really encourage you to watch some of the upcoming episodes of Double Tap TV, because we are getting right into some of this, some really clever stuff coming. We're talking about it here on the show as well. But I, you know, it's a really, really exciting time for tech. And I think for blind people, especially, that fusion of AR and AI is going to be really, really cool. And I hope Apple, I know Apple will be all over this. And I think people are waiting for that to drop, because that is, frankly, when people will start paying attention to the smart glasses concept. Or not? I don't know. I can't really imagine an Apple product that's really completely collapsed and failed.
There's been a couple, but I mean, when it comes
Ping on iTunes, that was terrible.
Oh, it was.
The music social network. Yeah.
Well, you've just got to look at Google Glass, right? I mean,
That didn't work because of cost. It didn't work because of cost, and I think it was way too early in its development.
I'm sorry. Are Apple's glasses going to be dirt cheap? Are they going to be a bargain? Absolutely
but
not.
But they are talking about, what, £500, $500? It's going to be the kind of price they're ranging at. Now,
who's saying that?
Well, this is what the rumour mill is saying, yes. Right? I mean, who knows? But I think if that's the case, then it's got a shout. You know, I think £500 to a lot of people is a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But, you know, how much is a phone? It's cost more than that. So, I don't know.
No, it's true. But it's all down to the use case, right? What are they going to be able to do? And especially for us, you know, because the whole thing about glass is superimposing AR, superimposing digital information over the real world, which is just futuristic and cool and really useful. But for us, we don't care about that. So for us, it's more about analyzing the world around us and presenting it to us through audio. So I just don't know. I don't know. The Apple Watch just keeps springing to mind, right? Everyone wanted the smartwatch. We were waiting and waiting for Apple to release that. And when they did, it was, oh, this is so cool. And as even now, all these years later, we're saying, I don't actually know why I like it, because what am I using it for apart from telling the time?
It's
and
so interesting,
now browsing
isn't it?
The
because
web.
Because we were at a point in our life where, you know, everything came out and it was starting to become accessible and we were all really excited about it. And it was almost like we felt bad if we weren't excited by it. And I think that's a really good place for blind people to be going into 2022 with, because you're at a point where it's actually okay to not be excited by a piece of tech. That means that we're just average consumers in that case.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's a good place to be. That's a really good place to be. And I'm really pleased that we're there. We could talk so much more about this because there's so much to think about what's going to be with Apple Glass and what it will, you know, become. I'm really excited to get into all that. Lots of exciting conversations going to be in next year's shows. Stick around. Keep, of course, subscribed to our feed on the podcast. Keep checking us out here on AMI Audio. And, of course, Double Tap TV as well. All the details on all of that coming up here in just a second. From me, though, and Sean Preece, thank you for joining us this year. We'll be back in 2022. Sean, have a happy new year when it comes.
And you.
Thanks for listening, and keep your feedback coming. Call 1-844-971-1999 and leave us a voicemail. Email feedback@ami.ca. We're also on Twitter @DoubleTapCanada and on Facebook. Can't wait till next week? Ask your smart speaker to play Double Tap Canada or listen on the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening. Catch you again next time.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.